Sunday morning at 10:30 if you want to join us for future services. And just to say that on the back, on the shelf there on the back, there's free literature. If you want to take whatever you'd like to take to read, it's all very easy and accessible, then please do so. And David will be leading our Christmas morning service, so thank you for doing that, David.
Thank you very much, and a very happy Christmas to you all. What a joy it is to wake up on Christmas morning and see, well, the sun wasn't quite shining when I woke up, but to have the sun shining for us and to remember the wonders of the Lord Jesus coming into the world, being born at Bethlehem. I've already spoken to some of my family in Nairobi this morning, so I'm feeling really warmed up for Christmas. It looked fairly warm there. Our opening reading this morning is Psalm 100. There are Bibles in the pews like this. Psalm 100, it's on page 604. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, what can we sing on Christmas morning except 194, Christians awake, salute the happy morn. 194 in the Green Book.
Christians awake, salute the happy morn, where on the Savior of mankind was born. Rise, adore the mystery of love, which hosts of angels chanted from above. Joyful tidings first begun of God in
Now let us all pray together. Let us pray. Lord, how we want to praise and worship you this morning. This is Christmas Day. The time has come. The time for your promise to be fulfilled. The time for the Saviour to be born into our world. The time when the eternal Son of God would take on frail human flesh and live in our world, live with us, God with us. We praise you for your amazing grace that the Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich, not in our pockets, not in our bank balances, but in our souls, ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Lord, we live in this poor, dying world, but in the Lord Jesus you have brought us life. We live among those whose world is darkness, but in the Lord Jesus light has come into the world and into our lives. We live in a world of guilty sinners who stand condemned and awaiting judgment. But you have sent the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour, to be the one, the only one, who could die and pay the full price of our sins, that we might not perish, but be pardoned and welcomed into your kingdom. Lord, this morning we confess to you our sins and failures. We've not loved and honoured you as we should. We've not obeyed your laws. We've not trusted you. We've been selfish and proud and strayed far from you. Please forgive us. May we be truly repentant. Pardon and restore us, we pray. We pray for this world in all its need this Christmas Day. We pray for those affected by war, displaced from their homes, separated from loved ones, grieving the loss of someone in the family, in Ukraine, or in Russia, or in the Middle East, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Sudan, and Cambodia, and Thailand, and other places. We think especially of those in Ukraine today, Christmas Day, who are not able to meet like us in church or sit around their dining tables enjoying Christmas dinner. They're in bomb shelters or underground stations, sheltering from attacks, with no electricity, no heating. Lord, remind them today that the Lord Jesus came to a stable to be born. Remind your believing people in Ukraine of your deep love for them at Christmas. And Lord, we pray that these conflicts might cease. And we pray that you will bless churches who are seeking to reach out with practical help and with the word of life in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We pray for our own country, for our leaders, our king and queen and prime minister and government. Lord, we pray that today, just as you came to Bethlehem and kings from afar sought you, might our leaders seek you, seek to know you, seek to follow you. Bless our king and his message to the nation and commonwealth. And bless all your people around the world today, those who will be openly proclaiming the wonderful news of Jesus, and those who must meet in secret because of persecution, or perhaps are even in prison for their faith. Might they know that Emmanuel has come, God with us. And Lord, we pray for our church. You know all our weakness and our sadness at this time. Lord, draw us closer to yourself, we pray. We pray for the family of Keith. Lord, that you will comfort them and draw near to them especially. We pray for Sally in the care home and for Rhoda at home. And we pray for loved ones who don't yet know you. Dear Lord, as you came to shepherds and to wise men so long ago, we pray that you might come to our loved ones and draw them to yourself. And we do pray, dear Lord, that you would send a pastor to us and new folk to add to our church and to serve you here. So bless our service, we pray. Bless each one who is before you this morning. Might we rejoice because the Saviour has come. For we pray in his name. Amen. Now, just a word for Lydia. Lydia, just a word for you this morning. Just to say it's lovely to see you here. And this is Christmas Day, when we remember that the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? And he came because he loves us. And he came because he wants us to love him and to trust him. And he wants to make us ready to go to be with him one day in heaven. And that's why we're going to sing praises to God this morning, praises to our Lord Jesus. And I want us to sing, it's not on the numbers up there, but I want us to sing Away in a Manger. Do you know Away in a Manger, Lydia? Do you know that? Good, let's sing Away in a Manger. It's number 207 in the green book, 207.
Stay by my side until close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us forever to live with thee there.
Now we're going to read again from the Bible, and we're going to read Psalm 29, and it's on page 558 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syria like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Amen. So reads the word of God. Now next hymn is number 196 in the Green Book. 196, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. 196.
Sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Saviour reigns, and their songs employ. While fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns invest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Well, thank you for helping us with the music, Lydia. That was great. Now we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and starting at verse 1. It's on page 1027 in the Church Bible, the very familiar Christmas story. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, and the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When we read the Christmas story in the Bible, there are many different parts to it, different events with different personalities and different emotions. Matthew and Luke both unfold to us the story of Christmas. It's a story about God. It's a story about angels. It's a story about people. There are sad parts to it. Like when Joseph and a heavily pregnant Mary arrive in Bethlehem on their long journey from Nazareth, to be told that there's no room for them apart from a shed out the back. I mean, in a society where hospitality was so important, was there no distant relative to take pity on them? Then there are anxious parts. You men may remember the moment when your wife was about to deliver your first child. It may have been in a lovely hospital with professional midwives and all the latest equipment. But you were anxious, weren't you? Well, how much more Joseph with his young wife giving birth in a cowshed. And the encounters with angels. We read that Mary was greatly troubled when the angel came to her to announce that she would have a baby. And the shepherds that we read about out in the fields at night were terrified when the angel shone up in the night sky and spoke to them. Fearful parts. Then there are moments of disappointment, like when the faithful and kind Joseph realizes that his wife-to-be is already expecting a baby, and he's certainly not the father. Well, thankfully, God graciously explains what's happening. And then there are inspiring parts, like the wise men traveling from afar to see this baby born to be king of the Jews. And of course, there are bad parts, like the story of selfish, scheming, lying Herod and his cruel plan to destroy the newborn baby and then committing mass murder in the hope of killing Jesus. All these are important parts of the Christmas story, and there's so much more. But this morning, I want to focus on verses 13 and 14 in the passage we just read in Luke chapter 2, where we read this: "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" We're out on the hills near Bethlehem in the middle of the night. Shepherds are busy watching over their flocks of sheep, protecting them from wild animals and sheep thieves, and making sure that none of them wander off and become lost sheep. It's a very ordinary scene in those parts and in those days. People are just getting on with the daily task of living and making a living. But the night turns from something ordinary to something very extraordinary, because a bright light shines all around the shepherds, and an angel appears, a messenger from heaven sent by God with an amazing message such as had never been heard before anywhere in the world, and has never been heard since. And the shepherds, tough, brave, strong men, quake at their knees. Facing a nighttime angel wasn't in their job description, and they're terrified. But the angel hasn't come to bring them terror. The angel's come to bring good news, local news, that will become world news. And these shepherds are the first to be told about it. And they would be first on the scene, because the news was that a baby had been born that very night, just down the road in the village. And this wasn't just another baby to be added to the census that the Romans were currently taking. This baby had been long expected. He'd been prophesied about. He'd been written about. He'd been spoken of for centuries. He was the one that the Jews knew as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would be king. And indeed, he wasn't just a baby human being, though he was fully that. He was also the Lord. He was God. He was God incarnate, God come in human flesh. And the purpose of his coming was revealed by the angel. He was, and he would be, a saviour, the saviour, the only saviour. Can you imagine how privileged this angel must have felt bringing this earth-shattering news to these very ordinary shepherds? And think about this. God, in his infinite wisdom, and in order to show how completely he was identifying with our poor, lost, rebellious human race that he created, had so arranged that the baby had been born in a cattle shed and was lying in a cattle's feeding trough, a manger. And so the shepherds didn't need to go home and change and wash and brush up so they could be let in the door of the local maternity hospital. The baby is in a cattle shed. It's in a cow's feeding trough, and they could go there just as they were. So far, so amazing, but I haven't come to the sermon yet. I want us to go back a bit and in our minds, as far as it's humanly possible, to imagine heaven. God, the Father in heaven, is looking down on this earth and he sees people like you and me, people whose lives are full of joys and disappointments, who are full of fears and sometimes of inspiration, but people who above all are lost and far from God, lost and for whom even their best moments are stained with selfishness and pride and disobedience to the law of God. People who don't keep up to their own standards, let alone the standards of God. And people who can't make up for all their deficiencies of failures. People who are guilty before God, helpless and hopeless. And God, the Father in heaven, looks down and in his heart, he has pity, he has compassion, he has love for this world and for these people that he's made. And in his love and pity, God devises a plan, a rescue plan. But there's no man or woman or even angel capable of carrying out that plan. He must come himself. So he makes this plan to send his only son, the Son of God, who is God. And he sends his Holy Spirit to Mary. And the Holy Spirit works in this wonderful way to bring God the Son into the womb of Mary in such a way that the baby to be born will be both God and man. Now, God had already revealed to his prophets on earth certain details about this great plan of salvation. And the prophets have recorded things in the Old Testament scriptures, such that, for example, there was a general expectation among the Jewish people that someone was coming, the Messiah. But it was all a bit misty. And the angels of heaven, thousands of them, thousands upon thousands of them, they were also observing what God was doing. But God hadn't revealed the details to them. They wanted to know. They would like to have known. Peter tells that in 1 Peter. Their great God, whom they served with joy, was planning something. They knew that much. But they didn't yet know what. Perhaps they talked together, trying to guess what was happening. They knew it would be good. Everything God does is good. And God had given hints, but they couldn't put it all together. And then one day, things started to happen. God calls the angel Gabriel. He's got a special mission for him, to go down to Nazareth, to Mary, and to reveal to her that she's going to have a baby. Not in the usual way, but God the Holy Spirit would so work in her that a baby would be conceived, who would be called the Son of the Most High, and who will be a Saviour and a King. Wow! Light's beginning to dawn in Gabriel's mind. He knows because he tells Mary that nothing is impossible with God. He goes on his mission. And I imagine, this is my imagination, that when he gets back to heaven, all the other angels want to know how it went and what it all means. And then a bit later, another angel, or perhaps it was also Gabriel, is sent to Joseph, also in Nazareth, and to come into his dreams one night and to tell him the same as he had told Mary. And all the angels in heaven, you can imagine, must have been bursting with excitement about what was happening. And every day there was this excitement, this sense of anticipation among the angels in heaven, because the Son of God, whom they loved and served, had gone down to the earth and become a baby, as yet unborn, in Mary's womb. I don't know how much news came back to the angels in the meantime, but after some months, God calls one of them. I want you to go down to Bethlehem. That's where Mary and Joseph are now. And the baby, Jesus, has just been born. It's in a cattle shed. There are some shepherds out in the fields looking after their sheep in the night. I want you to go and tell them the good news. Tell them that Jesus has come for them, to bring them salvation. He's going to be their saviour and the saviour of people all over the world and far into the future. People who will come and be part of my kingdom. People who will come and live at home here like you in perfect joy forever in heaven. And the angel goes. And I don't know if my imagination has run wild, but I wonder if excitement has reached such a point among the angels that they're crowding around the throne of God and saying, "Can we go too? This is so wonderful. This is the day above all days. This is the day we've been waiting for." And God says to them, "Just wait a moment until the first angel has delivered my message to the shepherds. Then you can go." And that's what happens. That's why Luke says in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And this is what I want us to capture this Christmas Day morning: the wonder, the delight, the amazement of the angels as their beautiful song resonates around the fields outside Bethlehem. There are two things on the hearts and minds of the angel. And the first thing they want to declare is praise to God. Glory to God in the highest, they sing. It's like they're exploding with praise. They've seen a lot, these angels. They've seen way back in time some of their own number rebel against God. They've seen those angels cast out of heaven by God. They've become devils, enemies of God, fountains of evil. Then the angels have seen God create the universe and all that is in it, and create the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and put them in a beautiful garden so that he can spend time with them. It was all perfectly good. But one of the fallen angels, a crafty brute, has gone to speak to Eve. And he's spoken lies. Lies which have engendered doubt in Eve's mind. Doubt about God's goodness and love. And Adam and Eve have disobeyed God and rebelled against him. And this has changed everything. This beautiful world has become a place of sin and trouble and conflict and a place of death. Has God failed? Has his plan failed? Have his purposes been thwarted? The angels love God. They serve him in heaven. And sometimes God sends them on missions to the world. And God continues to be good to the world. And from time to time, there's someone in the world who's truly sorry for their sins and wants to follow God and his ways. And when this happens, we read in the Bible, the angels of heaven rejoice with great joy. But how long will it all go on? Will God just finally wipe out the world and everyone in it? I'm not sure if angels can worry, but they had every reason to worry if they looked at the earth and the way it was going. God had sent judgment into the world in the days of Noah and wiped out all the people apart from one family. But as soon as that family started to populate the earth again, the same pattern of sin and rebellion against God arose. But the thing is about angels. They trust in God. They believe that nothing is impossible with God, as Gabriel said to Mary. So, although the situation in the world is very bad, it seems that the angels always believed that God would do something, something amazing, something that only he could do. And now, that for which they've been waiting has happened. God has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. And the angels are so full of joy and praise to God for his wonderful plan working out in time and place. My dear friends, what is the first thing that comes to our hearts and minds at Christmas? Is it to say, glory to God in the highest, like the angels? We love Christmas. We love so many things about it. The singing, the decorations, the food, the family get-togethers, the once-in-a-year contact with friends from long ago. All of these good things bless us. But by far the most wonderful thing is that God's glory, his greatness, his power, his love, his compassion, his tenderness, God's glory is seen and known at Christmas. And we want to worship and glorify him. That's the first and the foremost thing that the angels sing. Glory to God. But there's a second thing. Peace on earth to men on whom God's favour rests. Because God has found a way. No, God has made a way to be kind and merciful and gracious and forgiving to men and women and boys and girls who don't deserve it. He has shown favour. He hasn't treated us as we deserve to be treated. He sent a Saviour. Indeed, he's come as the Saviour. No one else could save us. And what a Saviour he is. He doesn't just appear from heaven as a great champion leading his hosts of angels into battle with sin and evil. He does much more than that. He's born into the world as one of us, so that he understands us, he sympathizes with us, he cares for us, because he is one of us. And he, who has perfect fellowship and love and communion with God the Father, he God the Son feels for us. Because we don't have perfect fellowship and love and communication with God the Father, which He has. We are cut off from Him. We are cut off from God. We're estranged from Him. We're in conflict with Him and not at peace with Him. So this Jesus would one day be cut off, like us, from the Father, when He would take our sins upon Himself in His own body and carry them to the cross, and would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As He suffered in our place as our Saviour. The angels there in Bethlehem may not yet know how this is all going to work out, but such was their confidence in God that they could sing, peace on earth to men on whom God's favour rests. In a moment we're going to sing. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth, and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. And I want to encourage you today, as you celebrate all the festive joy of Christmas, to make sure that in your hearts and in your prayers and in all that you think and say today, these words of the dear angels resonate in your souls. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favour rests. Let us sing our last hymn, our final hymn. It's in this smaller book, Songs of Fellowship. It's number 155. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold Him come, offspring of a virgin true, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, veiled incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the humble Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to
And now to the King Eternal, Immortal, Invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.